Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. Underline that in your mind. In those days he did eat nothing. And when those days were finished, when they were finished, he afterward hungered. Skip down to me, with me rather, to verse 14. After it explains some of the temptations that Jesus faced, after this time of fasting and prayer. Verse 14, after he has clearly and decisively defeated the forces of the enemy, it says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. Reading the second part of verse 2 and the first part of verse 14 again, verse 2, and in those days Jesus did eat nothing. And when they were ended, afterward he hungered. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I want to speak to you this morning on the simple title, The Power and Force of Prayer and Fasting. The Power and Force of Prayer and Fasting. Would you pray with me? Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you this morning, God, that your holy presence would settle in this place, that your anointing upon me, God, to speak forth your word for your glory, and for the furtherance of your work in our lives and through our church. God, that would be evident. Your anointing would be present and evident. Without you, I can do nothing of any spiritual and lasting value, especially preach your word with authority and effectiveness. And Lord God, have an impact on lives. But your word is powerful and you are present. And God, we ask you to move and glorify your name. Speak to us this morning, Lord, on the power and the force of prayer and fasting. And challenge us and stir our faith. We ask in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, and amen, and amen. Clearly, from this text, we understand that prayer and fasting in the earthly life of Jesus was what led to the power of the Spirit flowing through his life and the defeat of Satan that he dealt to Satan there in this temptation that came upon him. Clearly, prayer and fasting brought the power of God to bear. Now, I understand, and you know, people sometimes say, well, he's Jesus. It's different. Well, it's not different because he is fully God and fully man. But in the flesh, he is living the perfect human life, the perfect sinless human life, setting the example for us. And we are told in John's Gospel, the second chapter, that those of us who say we are in Christ ought to walk, in other words, conduct ourselves, even as he walked. He in the flesh lays out the example for us. He in the flesh now gives himself after he is baptized in water and the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven booms and says, "This is my beloved Son." He is immediately led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness alone, there where he would face Satan's temptations. And, of course, stand against every one of them and unequivocally defeat the forces of evil. Amen? But in order to both defeat the forces of evil that he faced and leave this season of his life to begin his public ministry with power, he spent time in prayer and fasting. He fasted, and then he departed from that time in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is power in prayer and fasting. I want to speak to you this morning about some of the results that the Bible tells us come about when people will pray and when they will pray and fast. Now, these are the results of believing prayer. We're going to talk a little bit about the results of prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about what fasting is not and what fasting is. We want to see what the proper mindset and attitude that God gives us in His Word concerning fasting is. And so I'm going to talk at first here for a little bit about the results of prayer and fasting. As I said, these are the results of believing prayer. Some of the verses I talk about will speak of fasting and prayer. Others will simply speak of prayer. Because God answers prayer, He doesn't answer fasting. However, we're going to see that fasting combined with prayer, and fasting is never a thing by itself in the Bible. It always goes along with believing prayer. But we're going to see that fasting basically, if you will, amplifies the effects of our faith and our calling on God. And so any verses that speak about prayer, certainly also then, we can amplify that, if you will, to speak of the results of prayer and fasting. Does that make sense? So we're going to begin to talk about, and it was interesting when I got all the ones that were laid on my heart, written down and laid out, I realized there were 7 of them that I'm going to talk about. There probably are 77 or 707 results of fasting and prayer, but we're going to discuss 7 this morning. These are some of the biblical results when an individual with the right frame of mind and the right understanding of God's Word goes to God in fasting and prayer. These are some of the results. The first one is that demons are defeated. Demons are defeated. You say, "Pastor, I'm not even interested in dealing with demons. I'm not even interested in, you know, in knowing about spiritual warfare. I don't even care. I don't even want to talk about demons, much less confront them and deal with them." Listen, if you are a Christian, you are going to deal with demons. I was talking to the mentor coordinator on the phone the other day, who is a Christian, by the way, and he's the coordinator for Winfield Correctional Facility and Work Release. And he was telling me that often he speaks to men who are getting out of prison soon, and often he hears things like, "Hey, I got this. I mean, I'm saved. I'm going to be okay. I know I can handle this. I've just got this all figured out now. I've got all my ducks in a row, and I'm going to be okay when I get out." And he says, when I hear that, he said, often this is what I do. He says, I start physically poking them in the chest. And he says, am I getting to you yet? Like, yeah, you're kind of bothering me, right? Poking him. He says, that is exactly what the devil is waiting to do when you get out. He's going to start coming and poking and poking and poking and poking and tempting. I have heard individuals tell me that when they got out of prison, it seems like people with temptations come out of nowhere. They come out of the woodwork pretty much. They're coming to tempt you to go back. Satan is throwing his fiery darts. He knows this is his next best chance of getting you. It is not just individuals who are getting out of prison who want to follow Jesus that are going to face the enemy coming against them. We are taught clearly throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, that we are in a spiritual warfare. And if we are not fully equipped with the weapons of our warfare, we are not going to stand. Those who think they stand are taught to take heed lest they fall. When we are so sure that because I accepted Jesus 5 years ago, I know I'm not going to fall. We think our faith is in Jesus, but we're really cocky, sure of ourselves, and God cannot bless pride, friend. Not in you, not in me, not in anybody. Those who are even close to being prepared to stand are those who know in their heart what Jesus said in John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm not suggesting that you and I should face the world believing we can't make it. But I'm suggesting that we can't face the world believing in ourselves that we can make it either. We must face the world with a humble, broken heart of humility that is then a unfeigned faith, a clear, real faith that is not faith in ourselves. It's not being sure of ourselves. It's not a cocky attitude that says, I know I can do it. Right? Like the guy, let me tell you a little story. Sister Daly shared this with us many years ago. I never met the man personally. She said years before, they had a Bible school student who came to her for prayer because he had the worst case of poison ivy you ever saw in your life. I mean, from head to toe, this poor guy was covered with poison ivy. She prayed over him. Prayed in faith, believing, expecting God to heal him. Nothing happened. I believe God revealed to her there was sin in his life as to why God wasn't healing him. She began to confront him and talk to him. How did you get this anyway? He said, well, I was at work with all the guys at work. And they said, stay out of those woods. There's poison ivy out there. And I said, well, that can't affect me. I'm a Christian. And so he went in the poison ivy in the name of Jesus, rubbed it all over himself. I mean, he got all in that because he was going to prove that he was proud. But he said, he was proving he had faith in God. You show me where God said, go and rub poison ivy all over you, and I will prop up your pride. Amen? You won't find a verse that says anything like that. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan to put God's word to the test, to try to prove himself and prove God, he told Satan, it is written, you can read it in Luke 4 here, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Amen? These people who call themselves believers and handle rattlesnakes in church, I don't care whether they get bit or not. I'm not only not impressed, I think they may be possessed. And I ain't going to be there. Can you say amen? Because that is not of God. God does not tell us to prove our faith by wrestling with rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes don't belong in church. I don't even think bull snakes belong in church. I don't think they belong in people's basements when I'm down there working either. That's another whole story. I don't like snakes. But for real, somebody said, well, the Bible says that those that believe, they shall take up serpents. What does that mean? Does that mean we're supposed to tempt God by choosing to take up serpents? Or does it mean exactly what happened in Paul's life when he didn't know there was a poisonous viper in the woodpile and went to throw the wood on the fire and that poisonous viper jumped out, not because he was trying to prove anything, but it just happened. It latched on to him and he shook it off in the fire. Does it mean that? Or does it mean Satan is that old serpent, the Bible says, that will defeat the devil? It may mean both, but it cannot mean we're supposed to bring rattlesnakes to church. Amen? Most thinking people said amen. I've run into folks, though, who said, well, I know it doesn't seem like it's biblical, but those folks don't get bit. Well, that's even more scary. Because if it's not the power of God, whose power is it? Brother Boggs knows of a lot of churches in the area he's from where they do that foolishness. And he told me those churches are full of sexual immorality. They're full of all kind of stuff. They ain't full of Jesus, my friend. Jesus is not in that, and I ain't going to be anywhere near it. Amen? But we're talking about the fact that prayer and fasting defeats demons. And whether or not you want to deal with devils, if you are set to serve Jesus Christ and snatch souls out of His hands, you're going to deal with demons. The devil is real and demons are real. The Bible tells us all about them. We won't go into every detail here this morning, but they are out to conduct Satan's business, blind the eyes of unbelievers, fight against believers. Thank God in Jesus Christ, in a true, humble faith in our hearts, we can overcome every devil from hell because Jesus overcame him in the cross in our behalf. And Colossians tells us that he made an open show of principalities and powers, Colossians 2:14, triumphing openly over them in the cross. Jesus is the victor. And if we are humbly in Christ, we can overcome. That tells us that sometimes to overcome, we may need to take some time to go to prayer and fasting. We know biblically that demons are defeated in prayer and fasting because Jesus, we're told, was tempted 40 days of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. In the midst of that temptation, He prayed and fasted. Amen. Turn with me also to Matthew chapter 17. And what I'm wanting to do is encourage your faith that demons can be defeated as we go to prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and 19. And we're going to refer back to this verse several times. The disciples found themselves powerless to help someone who was demon-possessed and cast the devil out. So they came to Jesus in verse 19, alone, apart from the crowd, Matthew 17, 19, and they said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus, how come we were unable to cast this demon out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. The word means scant faith. This word translated unbelief is used only one time in the entire New Testament. It means they were lacking in faith. It didn't mean they were actively disbelieving. Their faith wasn't up to the task. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The issue is faith, and we'll discuss that in a little bit. The means of obtaining the faith that is necessary to move stubborn demons is prayer and fasting. Amen? To move this kind, to cast out before your face, and in this case from the life of a man who was bound with demons, the power to bring that deliverance is not found in a program, in a ritual. It's not found in certain words you say or some certain way to pray. It's not found in the psychologist's office. It's not found in a book. It's not found in ABCs and 1, 2, 3s that if you follow them. It is not found in ways that you go through and try to renounce generational curses. No, the power to cast out this demon that will not move by any other means is found in prayer and fasting. Demons are defeated in biblical prayer and fasting. Somebody said the devil's hindering people from coming to church. The devil's trying to snatch souls away. Amen. The devil is attacking individuals and they seem powerless against them. And the saints said, let's go to prayer. Let's at times go to prayer and fasting. These demons can be defeated by the power of God Almighty in prayer and fasting. Demons are defeated. Mountains are moved. The same passage says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into yonder place, and it shall be done, and nothing. Of course, we know other scripture would qualify this by making known to us nothing within the realm of the will of God. Nothing that God has for your life shall be impossible. No obstacle, no mountain that would prevent you from doing what God wants you to do has a right to stand. And with faith, you can move that mountain. If your faith is not moving it, get on your face before God and seek a faith that will move the hand of God. And really, it moves the hand of God to move you. It does something in you. It gets a faith stirred up in you so you can face that mountain and defeat it by the power of Almighty God. Prayer and fasting moves mountains. Paul spoke of having all faith so that we can remove mountains. Amen? Oh, thank God. Also, afflictions are alleviated when people pray and fast. Afflictions are alleviated. James 5:13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Afflicted means you're undergoing hardship, you're suffering trouble. It's more than you can bear, more than you can handle. Let him pray. If prayer brings you into alleviation of those afflictions, what does prayer and fasting do? Amen? Let him pray. Fourthly, when people pray and fast, souls are saved. Souls are saved. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 9:38, "Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest." The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Effective, anointed, empowered laborers is what's needed. The laborers to reach the harvest were few. Jesus said, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Ask him to send laborers into his harvest." I never noticed, like I did this morning, the word "his." It's not directly pertinent, but then maybe it is. His harvest. Well, we say Bethany Revival Center wants a harvest of souls. Of course we do. But it's his harvest. That both directs me in humility to who's in charge and whose work we're doing. And it directs me in faith to the fact that if I'm laboring in the vineyard, in the harvest field for God, it's not about us. It's about him. It's not our harvest that we're trying to do. It's his harvest. It's important to him. It matters to him. It's upon his heart. And he calls us to pray. And if that prayer is never turned to fasting, we might just wait and wait and wait. Amen? Prayer and fasting causes souls to be saved. If Satan is blinding their eyes, sin is darkening their path, and we call on the Savior in faith. Demons are defeated when people pray and fast. Isn't it going to often make a difference? Yes, it is when we pray and fast. Fifthly, bondages are broken, shackles are severed. Bondages are broken, shackles, chains are severed off of your life, off of other people's lives, because somebody takes time to get a hold of God in prayer and sometimes prayer and fasting. Isaiah 58 verse 6. God says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is not this the fast I have chosen? To let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke of bondage." Oh, it is time that the church of Jesus Christ rises up, leaving aside the bondages and shackles shackles of sin and Satan, amen, and rises up with power, not only power to break the bandages and shackles in our own lives, but power to go forth under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and lead men and women, boys and girls to freedom in Jesus Christ, because Christ died on the cross that they might have that freedom. Luke 4:18 tells us that Jesus came and was anointed of the Holy Spirit for several purposes. Some of them are that He came to set the captive free. Amen. To open the doors of prison. Amen. To set at liberty those who have been bruised. As I look around, everywhere I go, there are people bruised, battered, hurting, broken. Amen. Yeah. We were at that funeral service, Ron's memorial, on Friday. By the time I left there, in my heart I said, at least a third of those people, I wish I could take them to Wichita with me. Talk to a young lady, talk to a young man, talk to individuals. You see and hear the hurt, the brokenness, the scars of broken marriages, of bondages, of addiction. You see and hear the stories. You see a person, I suppose, that lost people just see another person. But God's people and God's servants look into those eyes of a child, of an adult. They see a soul that Jesus loves, that Christ died for. Amen. Talk to a young lady, 11 years old. She said to me, she was telling me how she goes to Bible clubs and stuff. She said, I've got probably 5 Bibles. She said, the last time I was at Bible club, they were talking about Genesis and we were learning about how God created everything. She says, how long have you been a priest anyway? I said, well, I've been a preacher of the gospel for about 34 years. Wow, that's a long time. I guess she determined by that I was probably qualified to discuss these things with, you know. And she said, I believe in God. I believe in His Son. And at first I thought, she said, I don't believe He rose from the dead, though. But she'd also been talking about a friend. And I said, oh, you don't? I said, why? She says, oh, no, I do. She said, my friend that I was talking about says she believes in God, but she doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. 11-year-olds are talking about these kind of things. And I said, well, let me tell you something. You are right. I said, the whole Bible, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, He was just a man. But He's the Son of God. And He proved that by rising. She says, yeah, I know. This girl was all personality, man. She just, you know, her dad says something, she rolls her eyes, you know, and he wants us to think he's such a great athlete and stuff. You know, and all this, just hilarious. Everywhere you look, there's people that need Christ. They're hurting. They're broken. They're bruised. I don't want to just talk at them. I want to be able to reach them. Amen. I want to be able to reach them. I want to see the bondages in their lives broken like they've been in mine by the power of God. I want to see the shackles of pain and sorrow and sin beginning to be removed from people's lives. But there are souls in need everywhere. Their bondages can be broken. the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is just as real and powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago or at any other time for you and for others. Luke 10:27 tells us, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off of thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck." And then this statement is made, "And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit. The yoke shall be destroyed. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of servitude, the yoke of devils, the yoke of sin, it shall be destroyed, broken from off of people's necks and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That word healing can mean physical, spiritual, emotional, and it does mean all of the above. Healing those who were oppressed of the devil by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is still doing the same, but he does it through his church. He does it through sold out people who have given themselves to prayer and given themselves to God, who have sought the face of God and at times pushed aside the plate to get near to Jesus and see the power of God work in their lives, in their church, and reach through them to touch the lives of bound and broken humanity. Can you say amen? Oh God, give us thine anointing to break the yoke of bondage again and again and again. Can you say amen? Number six, when people pray and fast, diseases are diminished. We have individuals sitting in our midst who've been healed of cancer and at times healed of terminal cancer. Supposed to have been gone several years ago and still to this day cancer free. Amen, Sister Linda. Amen, Sister Linda. I don't know if Sister Linda's cancer would have been terminal. Yes, she said. I know, Sister Linda at the back. Is it 5 years now? 6 years. They said, you've got 12 to 18 months, but she'd be lucky to make it to the first year, terminal lung cancer after treatments. She said, I'm not getting any more treatments. She prayed, her husband prayed, the church prayed, God moved. 6 years later, still cancer-free, alive and well. Diseases are often diminished when people will pray and seek the face of God in faith. Sometimes our faith needs the boost of fasting when we pray and meeting God in a fresh new way. Can you say amen? James 5:14-15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The anointing oil is simply symbolic and it is simply a step of faith. It symbolizes the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we're asking God to send. There's no power in a bottle of oil. It doesn't say the prayer of oil will save the sick. It says the prayer of faith or the bottle of oil, right? The anointing oil will save the sick. No, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, in his honor, by his authority, with our heart directed for the glory and to the character of Jesus Christ, by his authority and in his name. We're anointing the sick with oil and praying over them, and the prayer of faith, not the power of oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. By the way, the guy who boasted that he could go into the poison ivy and it wouldn't harm him, when he confessed his sin and forsook it, he got prayer and God healed him of the poison ivy. Can you say amen? But not until he humbled himself and repented of his pride. He probably didn't know it was pride, but he found out. Can you say amen? I wish all pride showed itself that clearly on our bodies. Amen. All right. Diseases are diminished. If the prayer of faith will save the sick, and fasting and prayer helps our faith, need I say more? Lastly, number 7. When people fast and pray, folks are filled. Folks are filled. Acts chapter 2, 120 people gathered in an upper room. They gave themselves to prayer for 10 days. Until the Holy Ghost fell. And all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of them, with no exception, spake in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Every individual in that place was filled with the Holy Ghost, because they gave themselves to prayer. Luke told us, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In that context, he said, ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Sometimes our prayers got to go deeper. It's for us. We need it. Now, we can sum all that up before we move on. And I'll try to move on quickly. But we can sum all that up with this statement. All these things are for the glory of God. God is glorified when people fast and pray, because God moves. Can you say amen? I just realized in my heart that the second part of this cannot be gone over quickly. We're going to save the second part for tonight. But you know what? I don't think we got to be disappointed. We got a message this morning that's a lot to chew on. Can you say amen? And we do understand this thought, or should. God doesn't answer fasting. He answers faith. The New Testament is very clear that God responds to nothing less than faith. Not works, not efforts, not fasting, not even time in prayer if it's with the wrong mindset. Our fasting, our prayer, our seeking God and looking to move the hand of God is because we understand we need God's faith at work in us. We're not earning or working for something. We're focusing on seeking the Savior, so we can see him move in our life and our church. And so we're setting aside the plate to seek the Savior. Amen. We're not looking to lose weight. We're not looking for a physical cleansing of our body. We're looking for a spiritual cleansing. sharpen our hunger for God and reach out to Him in faith and see Him visit us and work in our lives and draw us closer and melt our hearts and fill our hearts with a faith that clearly moves His hand. Would you stand with me to your feet and stretch your hands toward heaven? Worship the Lord Jesus with me. Father, we love You. We thank You. We're not looking for a week of religious activity. Lord, we're looking for a week of seeking the face of the Savior. And at times setting aside the plate, Lord, to do that. Father, I didn't get to talk about a lot of things I wanted to this morning, but Lord, put Your word in our hearts and Lord, prepare us for what's to come. But right now we respond to what we've heard. We respond here to come and Lord, to commit ourselves to seeking the face of God together as a church over this week. Lord, asking You to move in me, move in others. Lord, move in our hearts, melt our spirits in Your presence. Fill our lives with faith when we feel it and see it, and when we don't, let us go to You because we trust and believe. God, because we know that our God is listening when we sense it, and He's listening when we don't sense it. But oh God, let us come to the throne and Lord, seek Your face. Let devils be driven out. Lord, let sicknesses be healed. Let bandages be broken. Lord, let Your power flow, because we're flowing in tune and in touch with You. We ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our altar is open to come and kneel, to come and stand, to come and worship, to come and make commitments of your heart to God, to ask God to stir your faith, to look for the Lord to move in your heart, in your life, and in our church over this next week. A prayer, fasting, seeking the face of our God. Oh, Jesus, we need You. We are indeed desperate, broken people without You. We need You to move in our hearts and lives. Wrap Your arms of love around us. Move in our midst by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Touch lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Let's get a hold of God. Reach your heart. Reach your faith out to God. Worship Him. Cry unto Him. Let Him stir you. Let Him touch you. Let Him move you here.